Okay, welcome back. Here we are. Lots ahead. We're planning and planning right up to the last minute. What we're going to present to you for your consideration, how we're going to take it, which approach. There are a lot of things going on that we just don't even have time to get to, and that's just the nature of this horrendous bioweapon attack on humankind. As I said last hour, people who are worried about AI killing all humanity, we already have it. Been done. And that's why these controllers don't really care about the truth getting out now. They've done it. They've sown into the mass of humanity 13 billion injections, the great majority of which are terminal into people. So they don't care. So that idea of killing all human beings is already in play. It's on the table, and it's bad news. So there you go with that. Are you there, partner?
Yes, I'm here, Jeff.
Well, welcome back.
Well, thank you. Nice to be back. Covering
what
a new
do we
topic.
Have, what do we have for dinner again tonight?
Air.
Air. Breatharians.
Right.
Yes, we've joined the Breatharian movement.
It's safer that way.
It is. There's no. Well, I was going to say there's very little yes, I was going to say there's very little toxicity in air, but I can't say that.
No,
I can't.
You're right.
Now when I see those things being sprayed across the sky, you know damn well it's not there for our health and welfare.
Oh, there's worse stuff in the ambient environment right now.
I know. It's the controllers of our species. I don't want to blame our species, because left to its own devices, I think most people would end up being relatively kind and gracious. I don't care what group they are. But they're controlled. Their reality is given to them. It's programmed within them by virtue of what they stare at on the screen, whether it's a big 65-inch screen or a little cell phone screen or anything in between. That becomes much of the actual reality of people. You have to think about it like that. If you're constantly being exposed to something, a theme, whatever, you begin to uptake it. It becomes part of your whole view of the world and life. And they can't help it. I don't blame them, but that's the game. The control of humanity is so incredibly diabolical and thorough that few would understand it, and even fewer would accept it if they believed it. They just, that can't be, but it is. Okay, this horrible bioweapon, as you know now, has probably dozens of ways, some fast, some slow, of being anti-life. It will be fatal. It'll kill you. And it is killing people all over the place. And we suspect that there is a growing crescendo of death in the Western world for sure, and perhaps the entire planet now. But the Western world was targeted first and foremost for eradication and reduction. That, I think, is an agreed-upon thesis. One of the most wicked ways that this is killing people is through prion infestation of the brain. But remember, prions can go after any organ, just like amyloids can go after any organ. Amyloidosis can appear in your liver, your kidneys, your heart, your veins, your arteries. It doesn't matter. It can be anywhere. So we really are up against something that is so astonishingly diabolical and sophisticated in the most negative sense that you could ever imagine. It's that bad. But CJD, now we're having more and more people become aware of the fact that CJD is front and center in so many cases. It's there.
Yeah, I would say you're right. There is chatter about it in some of these groups now that people are realizing or hearing some correlation with either the virus, because some of these people had loved ones with the virus early on, and sometime after that, they were diagnosed with CJD. You know, not necessarily in association with the vax. And, of course, since the vax, there's been many, many more diagnoses of CJD.
And it used to be so rare. What Erica just said is essential. to understand that the virus is a bioweapon too. And the virus does many things that the injections, the so-called vaccines, do as well, like spike protein, just for one. So it's bad. Here's a little story about CJD. We've done quite a few of these lately, but this is a growing issue. And I think it's kind of like, again, it's Act 3. If Act 1 and Act 2 don't get you, this is Act 3, prion disease. I lost my spouse to CJD when he was 47 and his mother at 62. Neither ever had dementia. Autopsy showed hereditary disease with a mutation. My son is now having symptoms. Long story short, he got an LP.
What's lumbar an LP? Puncture. Lumbar
That's what
puncture.
We used to call them spinal taps, but anyway. You got a spinal tap which shows 14-3-3. Numbers are within range on paper. Does anyone know if 14-3-3 is normal in CSF? I just remember at Cleveland Clinic, that's how they diagnosed my husband until autopsy was done. Feeling a little overwhelmed here. My son is 18 with a sudden onset issue, including falls, and he's now having to use a walker. Any ideas? So what we've got here is cognitive decline in many little departments. Across the board, yes, but don't think of Biden necessarily. These are young people, 18. We even had one younger than this, didn't we, with CJD? What was it?
I think you're thinking
14?
Of the girl. I think she was 21. This is the youngest one I've seen, 18. That's
18? All right.
That's pretty young. I mean, but, you know, yeah. It's not confirmed, but, you know, given that there's a family history.
Right.
I don't know. You know, and we don't know if he's vaxxed or had the virus or, you know, what could be contributing to this, if it's even that. It may be something else.
Well, they didn't mention shot status here, which would have been very helpful.
Right.
But people often don't, they just don't go there. As part of the denial
process.
No,
there are people that just, they really take offense if somebody brings it up. There's still a lot of resistance to even considering the possibility. They don't want to believe that there could have been any nefarious intent with these shots.
Denial.
Mm-hmm.
Denial. And that's most unfortunate. All right, here's a little video for you. We're going to start out with this. This is a Greg Reese report. You want to set this up for us? It's a nice Canadian woman who just happened to have a little trouble with her shots.
and she's young. This is a young woman who is paralyzed from these shots, and the Canadian government is trying to persuade her that she should opt for suicide, medically assisted aid in dying.
It's so incredible to me. Your government steps in. Is it trying to help you by guiding you away from these injections and giving you the truth? No. They're offering suicide, euthanasia. That's not a government. That's a death weapon.
It isn't obvious by now.
I know.
And I think you and I predicted this, that they would let people wallow and suffer with these injuries. If they didn't die on their own, then they would just let them, you know, flounder until it got so miserable that they would demand, you know, euthanasia of some sort.
We did talk about that, and that's coming home to roost now. And the more people who are put in, we have more material for you here. These people are suffering like I've never seen any descriptions before. There's not a moment's rest for these people. No respite, no time out, nothing. They are in misery all the time from these shots.
Yeah.
So don't worry about AI someday wiping out humanity. Humanity may not be around long enough to see that potential even be considered. It's now that we are being threatened with extermination. Now. Right now. All right. Here's this video on this young lady. I don't know how, what is she, 25? Something like that?
Yes, I would guess somewhere around 25.
Yeah, whole life ahead of her, you know, nice picture of her here. This is the Reese Report, and let's take a listen. Here we go. Whoop. It's not giving me any audio yet. Hold on. What's wrong here? Let's see. Should be. Everything looks good. I'm not getting anything on this. Anything? Does yours play all right on your end?
Where is it?
It's the Greg Reese thing. I'm going to reload it, and let's see. Let me try it again here. Hopefully this will do it. No, it does not want to play. Everything's looking good. Yeah, one more scan around the screen here. No. I've got the audio little speaker symbol is all the way up, maxed, and nothing. Okay, let's try and come back to this maybe later. So right now...
Mine will play.
Okay, I'm not getting
any audio
here.
All right, hold on here. Hang on.
We have a whole lot of things stacked up here, so... Medical staff offers assisted suicide to Canadian woman paralyzed from COVID shots.
Kayla Pollock was one of millions coerced and deceived into getting the deadly COVID shots when they were mandated in 2021.
Could you tell us why you decided to get the COVID-19 vaccine? Basically, a lot of it had to do with the things I was hearing on TV. So there was a lot of fear just being screamed at me by not just the TV, but also, like, you know, when you hear, like, the WHO is on TV telling you that this is, like, a deadly pandemic and, you know, people with immune disorders are going to, you know, die from COVID-19 more likely than other people. You know, I was hearing about that, and my dad was dying in long-term care at the time. In order to go see him, I needed the shots. In order to go to work, I needed the shots.
A week after receiving the Moderna booster shot, she fell to the floor and was paralyzed for 30 minutes. Another episode happened a week later, and shortly after that, she became paralyzed from the neck down. The first doctor told her that this was something that often happens to people when they're upset, and that it was all in her head.
He told me that this was something that often happens to people when they're upset, and that this was in my head. And the good news was that I would get better because I was essentially having an episode that was some sort of psychotic episode. I asked him when I would get better, and he said, you know, it's up to you, really.
A second doctor was honest with her, but had to keep it hidden.
The second diagnosis, a doctor came to me and he whispered in my ear and he said, I think there's something seriously wrong with you. I do not think you're faking. He said, I have a neurologist or a radiologist who's willing to read your report at home. If you go into the scanner right now, I can get that done.
They found a massive lesion on her spine, and the doctor told her it was most likely caused by the vaccine and that he's seen many cases just like it.
Most likely it's going to be probably from using my gut impression here from the vaccine.
Kayla spent several months in the hospital's rehabilitation center, where the staff offered her medical-assisted suicide on two occasions, which is the only assistance the medical system seems to offer.
Rehab didn't do a whole lot. I was sent home from rehab. I was told that I'd be getting a lot of personal support hours, and I got home from rehab, and... For 4 days straight, nobody came.
if this story is disturbing to you, then it means you still have a heart and your human soul has managed to survive these dark days. The trauma has been too much for many who have disassociated into cold indifference and fail to fully recognize the crimes that are being committed against all of humanity. Celia Farber wrote that what has happened and is happening is by far the worst crime ever committed, worse than the atomic bombs and all wars combined. We all struggle to fight off the feeling that in some way we have already died. And the daily challenge is not to disassociate, but to bear witness, since every person still alive now is either a victim of the shots or a witness. And we should be prepared for these criminals to try this again. The mainstream media is now talking about strange cases of the measles.
The highly infectious measles virus is spreading across more of the country, including in Florida, where a concerning outbreak is growing. And the latest CDC data shows more than 30 cases nationwide this year across more than a dozen states.
And there's something about this year that is making people more vulnerable to the measles right now.
Yeah, it's a combination of people not getting their vaccines on schedule during the pandemic and then just not necessarily getting to the doctor's office.
If you are looking for ways to help, Veterans for Freedom have launched a Give, Send, Go for Kayla to raise funds for a service dog. Greg Reese reporting.
Okay, pretty repulsive, the whole thing. Another life ruined. At least she's still alive. She doesn't want to die. She's fighting to maintain some quality of life. The picture of her here, she's in a full wheelchair, paralyzed from the neck down. And that's the name of that game. How many others just like it? How many have, what I'd like to know, and we'll never know, how many have taken these death shots and not had any, we'll call them side effects, just for fun. Not have any obvious injuries. That's more to the point, of course, and pain and discomfort. We don't know that. I don't get many comments from people I know. I don't see any emails. We don't come across many reports saying that, well, you know, my entire family took the shots and they're fine. Not a single problem. No, we don't think it's happening. We think most everyone who's taken the shots is certainly afflicted with some kind of an injury. They may not even be aware of it yet, but it's percolating. You can't have spike and liquid nanoparticles and mRNA in you and not have a result of some kind. And it's not a good result, so just don't know. This is another sad story. And we do try to bring these human stories forward because nowhere else in the media are you going to see these covered. Very rarely. If at all. And I don't watch the commercial media. So, yeah, it's not a good situation. You're going to have to play the next one, too. I think my audio system is having a little problem here.
So oh, all right. Or do we want to just go to some of these readers that are...
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. And
right.
When you play the next one, play it a little bit louder. It's
okay.
It's good. It was fine.
All right.
Okay, so we've got... these people who are suffering so badly often never post about it. They suffer in silence. Many of them, of course, are suffering, and their family just is worn out. Their families have PTSD. It's a horrible thing. And we've got some material now we're going to read, which makes it quite clear that these people are very, very well able to speak, some of them. And we're going to read some from a gentleman named Mike O'Mara, who has been terribly wounded and is, in his words, dying. And he has some things to say here. So we're going to read this first one and then carry on. I'll start it and then Erica will finish this one. Mike says, he's just blatant with what he's saying. I am sick of everyone being a coward. Sick of it. The injured aren't even speaking out. They aren't being loud. They aren't screaming about being murdered slowly. They won't show their injuries and their disabilities and descent toward death. They are cowed into passivity by weak leaders in religion, community, the government, and the medical system. They go on all these support sites where no one but the most mildly injured are, quote, getting better, which only means the mildly injured have adjusted to their new normal, their injuries, partially disabled. And he's got a point there. A lot of people, they're not what they were before the shots, but it's passable. So they've incorporated that into their overall self-evaluation in life. I'm all right. And they continue to shill and gaslight each other and themselves over this supplement, that supplement, this protocol, and that. False hope, nonsense, toxic positivity with no actual results. No one will be realistic because the reality is horrible, and no one wants to face it loudly and proudly. Everyone is too scared of their online friends and their unsupportive families getting mad at them for, quote, being political, as this tragedy has been made out to be. Go ahead.
So the massive gaslighting goes on. Even the, quote, support communities shut people like me out. The severe are shunned because we shine a mirror on what has happened in full. No one has the courage to stand with the actual dying, with those suffering the most disfigured bodies, failing hearts, Alzheimer's, ALS, encephalitis. No one cares. Just keep telling us your faith healing or energy healing or yet more stupid-ass ivermectin or Lyme protocols or parasite cleanses or diets or whatever is going to help. It won't. It doesn't. We have tried them. If people would actually listen to the severe, they would realize that. But that doesn't sell supplements and magic protocols, so we are shunned and shamed for dying. Imagine that, to be told you have too negative an attitude about being murdered and dying slowly. How would you feel if someone said that to you? The severe and dying are completely, utterly abandoned. We are abandoned by the toxic positivity gaslighting of the mild injured, by the blatant emotional abuse of the injured community leaders who perpetuate the you aren't trying hard enough BS, by our doctors, our communities, our former friends, and even our own families, all because of cowardice.
All because people would rather stay comfortable in their ignorance, waiting for some miracle that isn't coming, or some official help from government or God or wherever that isn't coming to be brave for them. Everyone allows and encourages people like me to be silenced and shunned and hated. I had 21,000 followers on Twitter. I was trying to help people, to spread the truth. The hate mob came, and no one in React 19's circle, that's a group, or anywhere else, defended me. No one. So they got me banned. They'll have me banned here sometime soon, too, left to die, and everyone will let it happen to me and others just like me. No one will share this. No one will defend me. Everyone attacks me when the severe are trying to help, because we dare to speak the truth, not because we're negative, not because we want to die, because we want to live, and no one cared enough to help us make that happen. Because making it happen means first facing the full truth, especially the most difficult, horrifying parts.
And one person replies, no one hears, Mike. I did interviews, shared everything for the first year and a half. I've seen over 30 doctors. The ones that do care can't cure us. I wish to God every day he lets me at least pass with dignity. This is horrible torture. My family has all suffered PTSD, watching me disintegrate. I am a shell, a totally broken shell, suffering tremendously. And Mike replies, yep, 45 Western docs, 9 neurologists, a Chinese medical doc, 3 Lyme literate MDs, 3 naturopaths here. None can help.
There you go. These are people who are heroic in their own suffering. They don't go away. Mike O'Mara has been one, and there are many others who stand up and try, and they get jumped on. They get kind of beaten up. They get called very negative things. And those who are severely injured in families that aren't perhaps the most patient have to deal with that. The families get sick of it. What was it we just talked about or read the other day? The family gave this, was it, the family gave a woman a sort of an ultimatum.
Yeah,
they said, well, when are you going to get better? What's the date?
Right,
when are you
right.
going to get better? It's unbelievable. The insensitivity of some people, of course, it knows no bounds, and it's very sad. But we try and help all of you out there who, thank God, aren't injured. Many of you are, but you need to understand that those who are damaged and who are disintegrating often have no one. And those people need to know that we're all here for them, even though we can't do much except bring what is often, unfortunately, not good news. But we're doing our best to tell the truth about this thing. And that's more than I can say for all the mainstream media. They don't do it.
To be injured and to not have that acknowledged and validated is really
unbelievable.
Literally an insult to injury.
Well, when they ask that woman, do you have a date? What date can you give us that you're going to be better? We're sick of this, or whatever they were saying. Something like that. Just crazy. This is an unprecedented anti-human assault on this planet. Our species has been targeted for at least massive reduction. All right? That's what the targeting is. What are they going to end up with? I don't know. We don't know. But the target is to reduce the planet to 500 million. I'd say a billion, maybe. And if what we're seeing with these shots and this virus continue to play out the way they look to be playing out, the controllers and the evil ones who put this thing on the planet may yet see exactly what they target come true. It may be sooner than we think. We'll see. 2025 may be the final year for a lot of people. We do see people now in very serious condition, and they're getting worse. Nobody's getting better. At the very least, they seem to be able to fight off their symptoms and keep them minimized so they can still function. And thank God for that. But honestly, the causes of their injuries are still there within them, propagating, spreading, getting worse. They're intensifying all the time. This is not a joke. This is where we are in 2024.
You know, when you consider that, you know, just the blood in and of itself, just destroying the integrity of the blood and the vasculature, you know, you don't need much more than that.
No.
And we have plenty of evidence of how bad this blood is. And, you know, it's just a miracle that these people are walking around appearing normal for the most part.
And then look at how the poor heart besieged with spike, and your own T lymphocytes going into your heart, for example, and destroying heart cells. The cells of your heart, the muscle, the cells being destroyed. And then think about the amyloid formations, the clots, not traditional blood clots, but they're growths, we call them clots, that are growing anywhere in the body, anywhere. And they're finding
wherever
these
that spike protein ended up, it has a potential to become fibrotic, essentially. The inflammation that it induces in these various organs, tissues, turns the organ into, you know, something dysfunctional. When it finally tries to remodel itself, it's nothing but scar tissue. And we now have an epidemic, apparently, of liver failure.
all over the place.
And some have speculated that it may be autoimmune in nature, you know, the body attacking and destroying the liver, because, you know, the liver is one of the first places these lipid nanoparticles end up. And I would say that the same is true for the adenoviral vectors. The liver really takes a big hit. But then we have the issue also that isn't talked about hardly at all, is this iron overload that's now happening. We're 3-plus years into it, and the liver is one of the first organs to become damaged by a body that's being overloaded with iron.
That's a big story. We'll revisit that again. We covered that very thoroughly here. Eric is really just totally on top of that one.
I just can't believe there's no hematologist speaking on this. When the blood is just, it's just...
No. Sludge.
The most unhealthy blood you've ever seen.
The heart is
working.
Nobody's
curious as to why?
No, they're not. Nobody's talking. There's not one hematologist out there being quoted, being recorded, being featured that I've seen on any program anywhere. Not one. Maybe there are.
No, I haven't either.
Nope. Your poor heart. The heart, not only is the heart being besieged, like the liver, with spike, and every cell the spike goes into becomes essentially disabled, and it's dead, and the body goes to remove it, right? So that's part of liver failure. That's part of heart weakening. And the heart has to push this sludge through the body. It's not designed to push sludge through the body. It's designed to push beautiful, pure liquid through the body. So the heart is just going to quit. And there are several reasons we've explained all of them that it will.
The heart isn't getting the oxygen it needs to perform.
No.
You know, it needs a supply of oxygen in order to beat.
Yeah, and the red blood cells are being wiped out, annihilated, heme destroyed.
Well, they're defective.
They're gone.
You know, the spike protein, there's three receptors on a red blood cell where the spike protein can attach. And now you've got a misshapen, dysfunctional red blood cell that's prone to clotting.
What a coincidence.
You know, it loses its hemoglobin. Now it can't carry oxygen. We've certainly seen that in some of these live blood analysis. And, you know, how come nobody's doing, and no allopathic doctors, doing peripheral blood smears on these people so that you can see how these red blood cells are being formed or destroyed?
Exactly. Shame on the hematology community for just, this is the biggest, this is the first and most obvious part of your body that gets taken down, the blood. It's just
and dying. The ability to regenerate the blood, because the spike also interferes with porphyrins, which are required to make heme. And, you know, you look at a lot of the symptoms people are having, or syndromes, and, you know, they can be attributed to not having healthy heme metabolism, either the degradation of heme, which has to be done carefully, because heme on its own is toxic. So, and then, you know, do they have what's needed to rebuild the heme, you know, which is a complicated 8-step pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when iron's being sequestered, you're not going to have the iron to build the heme. And that's one of many things that can go wrong.
We hope that people listening right now will not go to these bag bars and get iron infusions. We don't think that's a real smart thing to do.
Not in this situation.
No.
You want to toxify yourself, that's the way to do it.
Okay, let's go and jump on that other video. It's part of the Children's Health Defense Magic Bus Tour. They're going around taking testimonies from people about their vax injuries and horrors that they're having to deal with every day. So go ahead and let's listen to some of that.
Okay. Where'd it go?
I've got no way to back it up. Hopefully you can find it. Do you want me to send it to you?
I got it. I'm ready to go. You ready?
Roll them. Yeah.
Okay.
Jennifer Diamond.
Okay, this is about you having the horrific injuries from Pfizer. Now, how many Pfizer shots did you get?
That's the questioner asking questions.
Okay, can I ask you why you decided it was a good idea to get a Pfizer COVID-19 shot?
I didn't think it was a good idea. I actually was very hesitant, and I had two of my daughters that became pregnant 5 weeks apart from each other, both high-risk pregnancies, and I was going to be staying in the hospital with one of them. And their obstetrician was pushing the vaccine. And so they, in turn, you know, told me I should consider it. And I reluctantly got it because I didn't know enough and I didn't want to harm these new babies.
So what happened after the first one, the first Pfizer shot?
The first Pfizer shot made me very ill for over 2 weeks. Just like the worst flu I could ever have imagined. Body aches, fever, trembling, and, you know, just that kind of thing. I couldn't eat, just felt very, very sick.
And you knew that was from the COVID shot?
Absolutely.
But you still went ahead and had another one?
I did, because I thought that in order for it to work and protect the babies, because that was my main concern, that I had to finish the series.
So what happened after the second one?
I was still sick again, and after that, it took another, another 2 months, and I was in the hospital, actually, with my youngest daughter after she had her C-section, and I noticed towards the end of our 4 or 5 day stay in the hospital that the top of my right toe on the left side was numb. No apparent reason, it just was numb. And we ended up leaving the hospital and going to her house for another 4 or 5 days, total 9 days. I only had 3.5 hours of sleep, and I started to feel sensations of tingling on the bottom of my feet, and it just started to escalate. I couldn't understand it. I was very sleep deprived, and I felt like I had to leave. I couldn't help my daughter, so I left and went home and slept for about 2 months, with just getting up to go to the bathroom, very minimal eating, and I really didn't.
2 months.
Didn't really talk that much to family. Very minimal.
Did you go to a doctor? Did you get any help? Is there anyone? Because you must be worried for you. The husband, I presume, is sitting right next to me right now. Why are you sitting in there?
I'm very sorry.
Okay. I kind of were interested in what it was like for you as well. Did you also take the
I did.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, you're welcome.
So you're lying in bed. I presume you're helping her.
Yeah, so what happened was I had had a surgery on a herniated disc a while prior, and I reached out to the neurosurgeon, and I thought, could this be coming from that? And so that was the beginning of a long stretch of doctors, and they did an MRI with contrast. They had me take ibuprofen, lay on my back for 2 weeks, literally. The MRI came back fine, so they sent me to a pain management doctor, and they started me on gabapentin. The pain management doctor referred me to a one of the doctors referred me to a neurologist, and I just started on this long quest. I had several different kinds of medications. I tried the ibuprofen. I was on the gabapentin, several different dosages. Then they switched me to Celebrex and Lyrica. I had horrific side effects. I was seen at chiropractors, a TENS machine, massage, physical therapy, occupational therapist. I saw a whole another set of doctors because that was at the Mayo Clinic. And then I went to Barrow Brain and Spine. I saw for a second opinion. And I must have seen at least 4 neurologists by the time I got a diagnosis. I had spine injections. Wrist injections. I saw a rheumatologist. I had EMG tests. I had more MRIs of the rest of my spine. I had a tilt test. I tried everything. I reached across the country for doctors to help me. And during the time, my symptoms worsened. I went from just the numb toe and the tingling to buzzing all over my body, and tingling vibrations. I had this sensation in my hand, like a webbing, like the shape of a triangle, that was separated. I had wrist pain, elbow pain, joint pain. It went up my legs. If I walked, if I had any movement, it went all the way in the groin area across my face. Sometimes it was just my lips. It was my hands. And it just never stopped.
Was it like pins and needles? Was it way worse?
It was like pins and needles. Sometimes it was more mild. It was different types of sensations. And I also had a loss of balance. I couldn't even hold a pen. I couldn't pour water. I ended up pretty much bedridden, and that lasted 14 months. I finally got a neurologist who did a skin biopsy where they take three pieces of skin on the one side of the leg, hip above the knee and above the ankle, and send it away. And then he finally said, we have a diagnosis of small fiber neuropathy. I said, great. What was the cause and what's the treatment? And he said, well, there is no cause. We don't have a treatment. You're never going to get better. You're only going to get worse, and you'll always be on medication. And, I mean, that wasn't acceptable for me. So the fight continued. I was able to get an appointment with Johns Hopkins and traveled across the U.S., but couldn't take that appointment because my husband lost his job and our insurance wasn't in place, so they did not see me. I actually asked if I could do Mayo Clinic at the other location in Minnesota because the one that I currently went to, they just said I was fine. Everything was fine. Every test was fine. And they denied me to go. And I did, I was recommended to go to a PTSD program to be interviewed to see if they could help me because this must be coming from anxiety and stress. I had a DEXA scan, and the scan showed that my bones were osteoporosis to a 96-year-old because I couldn't do anything. I was afraid to be home alone. I didn't want my husband to go to work when he, you know, got another job. I couldn't go to the grocery store. I couldn't do anything. And if we did have family over, I did sit in a chair with my legs up with special shoes and socks for cushioning. It would take me at least four days to recover, to just bring the sensation down. And then I decided, you know what, I have to try some natural things. So I went on this tangent and I saw an acupuncturist, a holistic doctor. I did the Wim Hof breathing technique where you try to hyperventilate, clean the air out. I did cold water, 50 degrees was our swimming pool.
That's
and I
great,
went in
Erica, that's good.
At a time every day
we
in
can,
the winter
we can
to try to bring
pause
down
it there if you want.
I tried manipulating my circadian rhythm. I stood outside and I watched the sun rise. When the sun went down, we didn't turn the lights on in the house. We had candle lights. I got rid of all Wi-Fi at night, got rid of everything in the bedroom, no television, no EMFs. I started meditation. I put black light shades up. And had an air purifier, which also worked as a noisemaker because I was so stressed I wasn't sleeping well. I got a Berkey water filtration system to try to get rid of fluoride and other things in the water. I got rid of fluoride in my toothpaste. I mean, I tried everything. And spine injections, wrist.
Are we good?
Yeah, we're good. You couldn't hear me. That's fine. This poor woman, again, is just an average, seriously, severely injured victim. And look at all the things she's tried. The doctors can't do much for these vax injuries. Why? Because they will not understand and agree that the injections have caused the problem. They probably don't know much about spike. They don't know much about the mechanics of it. They stay away from that. So they're not going to do much. You can have every test in the world, and how is it going to tell you that the spike protein, the mRNA, the LNPs, they're not going to tell you those are the cause. So these poor people are left just holding the bag. Nothing is going to be done to help them, not through normal AMA, Rockefeller medicine channels. It's not going to happen. So
well, the most you're going to get are you know, pharmaceuticals to manage symptoms.
Symptom
which,
relief.
You know, if you're That's in severe it. Pain, oh, okay, but
right. Exactly.
I have not seen them cure, you know, anything that's happened to these people.
No. No, there's, how can you,
you know,
cure
the people
it?
That
it's, a
I have
genetic, it's a genetic weapon. You can't. Anyway.
Yeah, it's the people that I have seen improve, and, you know, I hesitate to say recovered because we're still, you know, the jury's still out. You know, there have been people that think they're recovered, and then they get a, you know, another virus or a cold, and then they'll have a setback.
Well, also what Mike O'Mara said, that a lot of these people have actually incorporated their injuries, the lesser of the injuries, if that's all they end up with, as part of their, that's just the way it is. That's
right.
Me. I've got aches, I've got pains, I've got headaches, I've got whatever. So here on February 16th, there are two things in there in the middle, relapse. Can you find that? 16
yeah.
Feb, relapse. Okay. Go ahead and take the first one. These are, I think, going to be interesting.
Okay. 2.5 years, 2 Pfizers. I mean, she has 2 Pfizers 2.5 years ago. I was doing good for almost 1.5 years. Only lingering symptoms was muscle twitching, occasional but negligible. I started to exercise again and didn't relapse. I had the flu last month and ended up with muscle twitches, aches, and pain. Is there anyone with twitching after 2.5 years? Did you get any diagnosis from doctors? And a couple answers. I have myoclonic jerking. It's mainly my arms, shoulders, neck, but when it gets bad, it's even in my legs. It comes and goes for me. It's been over 2 years. Next one says, I'm a 2-year long hauler, and muscle twitching has been going on for the last month for me, so this is all new. I don't know what to do. Neuropathy is also increasing, as well as arm weakness and finger pains.
There's a perfect example. Doctors can't do anything to help these people. In their situations, this twitching, and what a horrible thing to have to live with, is not treatable. Nothing you can do for it. There's more. Has anyone been almost fully recovered for a while and then had a flare-up with new symptoms? I am experiencing muscle weakness, twitching, and lactic acid heaviness feeling in my legs, which is brand new. My initial injury was more than the POTS-type symptoms with a little muscle twitching, which improved over time. I'm just praying it will all get better again on its own and hoping to hear a similar experience from anyone. And there's a response. I'll do the first one here. You take the rest. Yes, this has happened to me. It happened pretty badly in October, but I have since gotten back to a stable state with ongoing symptoms that are manageable. I have just come to terms with this as being a chronic condition and that flares will come and go, and I will just have to deal with them. If you have not started a daily journal of your symptoms, I would highly recommend doing so. You can look back at previous months and years, this is years, to see patterns and trends, but also see proof of flare-ups and that you've overcome and how long it took you to do so.
Next person says, I thought I was getting better, but I had a relapse 5 weeks ago with new symptoms. Muscle aches, weakness, more intense, but also dizziness, adrenaline surges, and intestinal issues. Doctors do all the tests, and on paper, I'm super healthy. Very frustrating. Another one says, unfortunately, a lot of us. I was a lot better several months back, and I have many new symptoms now. I also have that very bad burning in the back of my legs and heaviness when I try to walk, along with about 40 to 50 other symptoms. And last
40
one.
To 50. 40 to yeah. 50 other symptoms. All right. Wow.
I get flares when my body is fighting off a virus or cold, etc. It was super scary the first time, but I always go back to baseline. I take extra antihistamines, electrolytes, and magnesium to help reduce the flare. If there were meds and supplements that helped you, it might be worth increasing them temporarily.
See, this is not something that's going to resolve and go away. No one more than we wishes that they would go away, these symptoms, but they don't. They morph, they change, they metastasize, if that's an acceptable term. They spread, and they come back. And that's not to say it happens to everyone, but there's a lot of people that happens to. And I just can't even believe. Hey, might as well start a journal, keep the next few years, and see how you do.
Yeah.
No. This is not life. And more people like this are going to get to the end of the road for them, and they're going to wish that they were out of here. And we've covered a number of stories like that recently. And you can't blame them. You just can't. Especially when they don't get the support at home that many of them think that they deserve. And we certainly think that they all deserve support at home. These doctors will not look at the cause. That's one of the reasons there's nothing much being done to resolve this stuff.
Yeah, that's
right. Science
is
not being done. Just not. Okay. Excellent job. Very difficult material to do. Not happy. But this is what we're dealing with, and the mainstream media will not tell you any of these stories. They lie. If they don't report it, it's out of sight, and it's out of mind. Okay? That's the way they play the game,
yeah.
As you well know.
Okay. Very true.
Be well. Take care.
Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Okay, we'll be right back with another hour. Hang on.